When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. I'm gonna play it for you. I'm gonna play this for you. I mean, I don't think we ever really play the home run calls.
Right.
This one was so amazing and so unlikely. Before you and I get into our Lindor conversation and Mets, I got to hear it again.
That's driven to deep right field, and a home run ends this no-hit bid. Linsanity. Francisco Lindor ties the game with a ninth inning home run. As big a hit as the Mets have had all season. Francisco Lindor breaks up the no-hit bid and the shutout, and he ties the game with his 31st home run of the year, and it's 1-1 in the ninth.
All right, first of all, Gary Cohn, SNY. That is a Hall of Fame broadcaster at the absolute apex of his powers. That call was awesome. You want to quibble about the Linsanity thing? Okay, that's fair. Whatever. But the energy, the way he wrapped it up, you know, no hitter, shutout, this, that.
Capturing the proper feel at the moment. I mean, he's the best.
I thought it was such an amazing call. Now, 0-2, you miss on the location, supposed to be upstairs. He cracks it.
The pitch before Lindor looked lost. Now,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
Were you watching this live?
No,
went back.
I was
okay.
Not watching,
so I'm watching this
replay.
Live, getting, because our show is going to be on after post game on SNY.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at my desk in the newsroom. They're talking about. I'm like, I get over there because I leave here. I walk over there. I'm like, what the hell's going on? This game's in the sixth inning already. Like, I thought we were going to have a little time. We're going to be on later because the game started at 3. We're normally on at 6. We ended up getting on at 6:30-ish because the game was flying by. They're like, yeah, the Mets haven't gotten a hit. I'm like, what? What do you mean they haven't gotten a hit? And you throw it on. Okay, we figured they get a hit. Bader rips when the guy makes a great play. You're like, all right. They're not gonna
that was
get
a play at the wall in left field?
Yeah,
that was a nice
they're
play.
Not going to get no hit. Seventh inning, eighth inning. Now I'm like, oh, my God. They're going to get no hit by the Blue Jays? Now, I didn't realize who was due up. I was getting prepared for the show. I'm watching the game. So I wasn't like locked into do up, it's going to be Lindor. Once I saw Lindor, I said, there's no way he is letting them get no hit. Now, I'll be honest with you, I did not think home run. It was the furthest thing from my mind. But once I saw Lindor in the box, and there were other people in the newsroom saying, oh, he'll go deep here, whatever. But I knew when Lindor was up, there's no way he's letting this team get no hit. But for that, to hit an absolute no-doubt bomb on an 0-2 pitch, to tie the game, break up the no-hitter, avoid embarrassment, and lead them eventually to another series win, heading into the off day, knowing with Philadelphia series looming.
Yep.
Good God. I like to call Piazza-like moments. That's even better than some of the best Piazza-like moments that we've experienced. That was an MVP moment from Francisco Lindor.
I think it's the most meaningful hit of the baseball season for any player on any team. I really believe that.
Combined with what where they're at and the no-hitter.
Combined with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're about to get no hit. You're going to lose the game. You're going to lose the series. You know, so that was unbelievable. Now, the other thing, too, I'm going to get very quickly back to Lindor, but as a possible thing moving forward for the Mets, I don't know if it's going to turn out to be a bit of a foreshadow for his finish, but if Alvarez now clicks in based on that moonshot, 430 to dead center, that's something that's going to really help the Mets nail down a playoff spot. And that's what is equally impressive. Number one, Lindor to put it on his shoulders again, do that. Insane. Really just an insane baseball moment, an insane New York sports moment. Just sick. But then for the rest of his team to then tack on the runs and everybody else go from being no hit to where they score, to score six runs was amazing. All right, so from an MVP perspective, what stinks here is that the symbol, though he's not there yet, but the symbolism of 50-50 for Ohtani is going to be awfully hard to ignore for these voters.
Plus, he's Ohtani.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, he's a mega star. Yep. He's the best player we've ever seen, better than Babe Ruth because he can pitch and hit, regardless of him doing it this year. All right, I get it.
We don't have Ohtani fatigue yet because it's year one, new team. Sometimes you do get a little voter fatigue like LeBron or you know, Kobe or others who probably should have won more awards but didn't. They call it voters fatigue, whatever. So I think once he gets to 50-50, which he will win the MVP. I know what the betting public says, or the betting odds.
It's like it was minus 900 compared to plus 500, I think, for Lindor.
And I remember the last time we had this conversation, and I said Ohtani would win and Lindor would not, and I understand why. I could not make a full case for Lindor then. I still believe Ohtani's going to win. This is the first time that I'm going to say I actually think that Lindor should win. Sal, that home run. Well, and now when you talk about...
You don't get bigger than that.
And it's not... he's been doing this all season. Like, when you look at the essence of the award, valuable, what's my very simple solution or equation? If you subtract player X from situation Y, how adversely impacted is situation Z? And just the variables would be Lindor, Mets, you know, or, you know, from you get what I'm going, you know, you understand the equation there. If you take Ohtani, you apply my same thing, deleting him from the Dodgers. Now, I know that Mookie Betts missed what's going to be about 50 games. He's still played 100 games.
Right.
Put Mookie Betts on the Mets for 100 games. Right. How are they doing? Even though it's only 100 and he missed time. Obviously, Smith is a stud catcher. I know Freddie Freeman's been a little down. Hall of Famer, okay? Teoscar Hernandez going to finish right on the doorstep of 30 and 100. Like, when you look at the other components and you look at this objectively and you just don't get it's a big thing not to get wrapped up in. 50-50 is rare. But, dude, Lindor, I think he's the MVP.
Yeah, he is the most valuable player because he plays the game. Like, all those things that you said, it's not even just that he plays defense. It's that he plays a premium position at an elite level every day. He plays every day. Ohtani's a DH. You can take Lindor off the field, out of the field for the Mets, and then it would be equal to what Ohtani's done for the Dodgers. Like you say, well, if you remove Lindor, remove X from Z, whatever it may be, the equation, you could remove Lindor from the field and think about how that impacts the Mets in a negative way. Well, that's what's happening with Ohtani. He literally plays half the game. Lindor plays every single day. He plays at an elite level. He plays a premium position. Oh, and by the way, he has been on fire since being moved into the leadoff spot offensively. Clutch hits, big hits, both sides of the plate, power, stolen base. I mean, I don't know what more you could do. I get that he's not a bigger name or a bigger star than Shohei Ohtani. I get that 50-50 is an incredible accomplishment. I also have to look at it and say, and we had Dave Lennon on Baseball Night in New York talking about this, and he's an actual voter for the MVP this year. He has a vote for that. And he was going over the history of, you know, DHs to win MVPs, and it just doesn't happen. Like, David Ortiz, I think, came close in 2005. I want to say, I'm trying to reference this.
Okay.
Don Baylor, I think, won.
Don Baylor did in the late 70s, yeah, but 78, 79.
But he played, like, a fraction of
played
games.
Played some outfield.
Yeah.
Well, that was with the Angels, I think, in 79.
79, maybe. Yeah, whatever it was. I forget the exact
I think it was 79. It was definitely the Angels.
What year did Keith win?
79.
Yeah, okay,
Keith
right.
won a co-winner 79 with Stargell.
Okay, so then
79.
Baylor. Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, point is that it's... Like, as it should be, it's not often a DH is even in the consideration for an MVP. There's a reason for that. To be a most valuable player, you should actually have to play the game. How could you possibly be more valuable if you're just a DH, even if you hit 60-60, than what Francisco Lindor has done playing every day, playing at a high level, playing an elite at an elite level at a premier position? I'm not, and I don't even care about the MVP award.
I know you don't.
I'm not being a homer here. I'm being a realist.
I don't care either, generally.
I know it's more important for the Mets because they haven't had one, but that type of hit yesterday, good God, that smacks you in the face of MVP.
You know, unfortunately, and this is, I think, just the reality, just based on the sheer numbers that Ohtani's putting up, acknowledging that, he's probably going to need another signature moment or two to further convince others, but you persuaded, I mean, you got my vote.
Well, he's actually got to finish the job.
I understand that, but like right as of now.
Yeah, as of right now, he would get my vote as MVP. If the Mets make the playoffs and it's because of Lindor, and it would be. I mean, he's got 16 games to go, head-to-head with the Phillies, head-to-head with the Braves. You get the Mets into the postseason, I don't care how they do it, he would be the MVP. You got to make the postseason.
I understand. I agree with that. Do you think it would matter, like say if Lindor was an all-star twice with the Mets, like Do you think that that matters?
Yeah,
like, you know how the perception.
Yes,
you know,
I think perceptually it would have felt different because you would have had been in. Now he's an established star in the league.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But his first few years. His first year was a bad one here with the Mets. And his second one was good, but the numbers kind of got padded. The second one, not bad. Third one last year, all right, whatever, padded again toward the mid-half of the year, and they were out of it. I do think if you were an all-star,
that's what I'm saying,
it would have helped make it a little more legitimate as opposed to, by the way, maybe not even the all-star in a few years ago. How about this year?
Yeah.
Like, he came out of nowhere. He was, you know better than anybody. His numbers were as bad as they can be the beginning of the year. You went from that to being a legitimate MVP. I do think that kind of hurts a little bit. But he should be the MVP.
And no, it's not lost on me that I have gone from saying that maybe he should abandon hitting lefty to saying
you already
got my vote. 888-808-1019. He's earned it, man. He has been absolutely awesome. Matt's on Long Island. Matt, BT and Sal, what's happening?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey,
I just wanted to make a quick point. I'm finally happy that everyone is giving Lindor his flowers, but yes, 50-50 is amazing and everything. But again, not only is Ohtani just a DH. Again, if he was even pitching at an average level this year, I think he would win the MVP far and away. But not only is Frankie, carrying this Mets team, playing Gold Glove defense, but he's also on track to play 162 games. I mean, he's doing it every single day. So Ohtani, yes, he's got 50 stolen bases. How much does his fresh legs factor into that? He's not running out there every day on the field. So,
yeah, I mean, that's part of it, a little nuance there. I think we all get that. And I think that if he was, instead of 50-50, 40-40, I don't think there's much discussion. It's Lindor's award.
Well, what about, you asked me the other way, like, what if Lindor were an all-star? What if it weren't Shohei Ohtani? Like the most popular player in the sport. People are saying he's better than Babe Ruth. What if it weren't Shohei Ohtani? Like if you take Juan Soto's year, which could be an MVP caliber year, certainly in his own right, and put it up against Lindor, do you think that Lindor would have much better odds? It's Ohtani. I think that's part of the problem. That's Shohei Ohtani.
That's fair. And look at the team that he plays for. He's not some obscure teams. You know, even the Angels, big market. But as a Dodger, first year, Ohtani, the Japanese influence, that matters. Like, he's just a worldwide figure.
Nobody can convince me otherwise. Francisco Lindor has been a more valuable player this year to his team than Shohei Ohtani has to his. It's just, to me, factual. I'm not saying he's better than Ohtani. I'm not trying to minimize what Ohtani has done, but Lindor plays every single day at shortstop at an elite level and has been raking and hitting in the clutch with power, stolen base, all that stuff. So while Ohtani has done stuff that we haven't seen done before in the sport, he's also a DH. You're up four freaking times a game. Think about that. Factually, Ohtani's impact on the game is factually significantly less every single night than Lindor because he does not play the field. He is only up four, maybe five times a night. That's it. Yeah. While Lindor is up four, maybe five times a night and playing in the field every single day.
And playing well. I mean, it's not like he's an average defender.
You can't convince me otherwise. You can say what Ohtani's done you've never seen before, and it's great. You can't say that he's a more valuable player than Francisco Lindor.
Now, to me, the home run wasn't even my favorite part of the day from him yesterday. All right, so as you know,
the glove.
You saw the glove, and then the comments. So he says, when he's asked about the backdrop of 9/11, quote, he just gets it. It was very present in all of our minds. It's just one of those days where it's special for all of us and every New Yorker, every American. As well, it should be an extremely special day that we get to remember the ones that we lost on that day, end quote. And then there was another one. I don't have it, but I saw it on Sports Night last night, ironically, after you were yelling. you were good last night.
Thanks.
I watched it. It was very good. He said something along the lines of, basically marginalizing the job of a professional athlete and trying to make sure that there is separation between jobs that matter and jobs that don't. And yeah, being a professional athlete does matter because it gives us great joy, and it's more than a hobby. Hell, it's a livelihood for you and I and many others as well. But he made sure that he put, the hardworking, diligent, middle of the road, middle class, struggling American, not just adversely affected by 9/11 because we all were at varying degrees, but he just painted a beautiful picture. This guy could have been all about himself. after that moment, mm-hmm. it was the exact opposite.
Took him a little while. And he's been saying the right things, I think, for a while now. It's just magnified because of how well he's playing. But it took him a year or two to get acclimated and understand what he needed to do. I think Buck had an incredible impact on him in a positive way, but Lindor clearly gets it.
All right. We had to wait a little bit. We got to some other stuff. Met fans, let's go. And by the way, not just Met fans, but baseball fans who enjoy these not just the pennant races, but the MVP races. Otani's knocking on 50-50 door. Lindor has been the savior for the Mets. It's the first time I've said it.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If I'm voting, I would vote for him.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. A lot of Daniel Jones discussion. And most recently, Lindor, MVP. I'm giving him my vote. You got nothing to have one. But based on the Lindor stuff on this show, I would think that is fairly interesting to some. He's got to finish the job. There's no doubt. But right now, as amazing as Otani's been, You cannot, and 50-50 is going to fool some people. And he's been amazing, Otani. And he's must watch. But you can't eliminate the years that some of his teammates have had. Like, I think the Dodgers would still be a wild card team, either if Otani got hurt or had an average season. Without Lindor's contributions this year, the New York Mets are a 70-something win team. And their season was over a month and a half ago.
Yeah, really. If that. I mean, come on. There should be no debate. I know it's going to be, you know, the odds are incredibly favoring Otani. Should be no debate. Most valuable player. Otani's the MVD. Most valuable DH.
No.
He can't be a player if you don't play the field.
I didn't know you were going with that. I'm a little worried.
I
didn't know where you were going with that, buddy. That acronym could have gone a few different directions, man. Let's get to you guys. Connor's and Weehawker with BT and Sal. What's up, Connor?
Hey, how's it going? Good afternoon.
How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. Cool. I just wanted to talk a little bit about this MVP race with Lindor. And essentially my question for the two of you guys is, how much weight do you want to put on the front half of the season? Because, you know, on your show, you've talked about his inability to get started early on has been a big contributing factor to the Mets, you know, place in the standings right now. Maybe they would be, competing for a pennant rather than a wild card.
Let me ask you this, Connor. Hold on. It's an interesting question. Hold on a sec. Now, so...
It's a part of it, for sure.
Is it, though? I mean, Aaron Judge did nothing in April. He's going to win the MVP.
Right. But if Lindor did play anywhere close to the level he's been playing at for the majority of the season, they would have been in a better spot, and I do think he would have been in a better spot.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the background. Yeah, a little banging. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, understood, but how many situations could that apply to? You could go throughout baseball.
Yeah, not everybody plays at the highest level, but he was barely hitting 100, if memory serves correctly.
He was hitting 191, whatever. At one point.
Yeah, I mean, it was that bad for an extended period. So okay. I just think it would have, like, the odds are so much in Otani's favor. If Lindor, now I don't think it should impact him because I do think right now he's the most valuable player.
Yep.
He's got to finish the job, get the Mets into the
postseason.
And by
the way, he's not going to win it. We're not saying he's going to win. We're saying that he should win it.
Although I think it might be closer than some people think.
Yeah.
It's just going to be hard because of who Otani is and because of the incredible numbers that he's put up.
That's why you need those moments like yesterday.
Well, or if Lindor was playing at this extremely high level from start to finish, then you take that. And the Mets being in a better spot than they are right now postseason-wise versus the 50-50 season, I think you have maybe a little bit a better chance.
I mean, geez, even if he batted like 240 the first whatever many games where he was batting, you know, under 100 for a minute, the odds wouldn't be this. I can promise you that. Now, I don't know if it would guarantee win because, again, Otani, the 50-50, like numbers and benchmarks, people become, transfixed on that stuff.
Right.
But man, oh man,
right?
He's,
but
he's
if
been
you
great.
Just if you just simplify, because I'd be lying to you, I'm not even looking at all the offensive numbers. I know what Ohtani's done, and I've watched Lindor every single day. But just the defense alone at shortstop, that to me should outweigh anything else. And he plays every day.
Let me get James in Yorktown, BT and Sal on the Fan, Jimmy.
Hey guys, big fan of the show. I listen every day.
Thank
I love
you.
You
we
guys.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
You got a lot of chemistry there. They put some teams together on the station that didn't work. You guys are working. It's great.
Thank you.
In regards to Lindor, what nobody's talking about, at 30 years old, with the kind of season he's having, if this was his walk year, 7 years, $210 million would be an absolute bargain, and that's what he has left on the contract that a year ago we all thought was an albatross.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's playing much better. This is what we expected from Lindor when the Mets made that trade, or at least something close to this. In the first few years, it has not been that. It's been good the last couple years. This, to me, was supposed to be, and I thought coming into the year, BT, it would be his best year. And obviously, it was starting out to be his worst year. You've seen Lindor. I do think it's a value now.
Yep. How about Anthony Noelbridge? Ant, what's happening?
Oh, Lord. You guys, I love your show. I listen every day on my work, Van. You guys are great together. You crack me up. I love everything about you guys. But this Lindor, your knowledge of this MVP race is almost as bad as BT's knowledge of freestyle when he thought that Stevie B sang,
You're my diamond girl. Yes.
Diamond girl, right. You're like, you never went to the Bay Club.
All right. I messed it up.
All right. Let's get to the important thing. But first of all, I'm a huge Dodger fan, and
shocker.
I'm not a Lindor fan.
Couldn't tell. We had no idea, Anthony. Couldn't sniff that out from a mile away. Yeah.
Okay, Lindor is great. Not taking anything away from him, but the Dodgers stink. Have you seen their pitching staff this year?
No.
Have you seen the Mets? They've got five reclamation projects.
Okay, and every pitcher on the Mets is better than every pitcher the Dodgers have pitched this year. Go look at the Dodgers pitching staff. It's a bunch of no names. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's been. If Ohtani was not on the Dodgers, they'd be 10 games under 500.
Well, what if Ohtani was doing his job defensively? Would their pitching staff be better?
It doesn't matter.
He wasn't paid $800 million just to hit and be a DH. He was paid to pitch.
He's going to pitch next year. He'll be fine.
That's next year. Maybe he'll win the MVP then.
Okay. First in slugging, Lindor seventh. Second in stolen bases, Lindor ninth. Second in hits, Lindor fourth. First in runs, Lindor third. OPS, first. Ninth for Lindor. Average, fourth. Lindor, 23rd.
All right, see, now hold on, Steve, we know the numbers. And by the way,
blowing him away. Not even a discussion. He's the best player ever.
We're going to have a discussion.
What position does he play?
Great.
The answer is he plays the same position as Daniel Vogelback. He doesn't have one. He's a DH.
Answer two very easy questions.
Go.
If Ohtani, any of the 32 teams in Major League Baseball, if he's on their team, is he the 3 or 4 hitter?
We know this.
Okay. Answer, yes. Any of the 32 teams in Major League Baseball, is he the ace or the number two starter?
Anthony, I think you're bouncing around. Yes. Didn't pitch in any this year.
And he's the same player. You have a kid in Little League Baseball. Ohtani does what the best kid at 9 and 10 year old does.
Except he's not doing it this year.
Major League Baseball. He's the best player ever.
I love you. I got to clip you. I'm done.
Good God.
Calls back tomorrow. Jets, Giants, I'm done with you today. I don't want to hear it. Honestly, I love you, but I don't want to hear it because you're not hearing us. Because you're not acknowledging the reality of the situation. Yeah, take the best 9-year-old or 10-year-old or whatever, that pitching stud, that kid who plays shortstop and bats, you know, first, second, or third and does that. Fantastic. Guess what? The kid that you're referencing, he's not pitching. He's just doing one thing. You're ignoring the obvious. Ohtani is, when he's on and healthy, a really good pitcher. Newsflash, buddy, he ain't pitching this year. So why are you bringing that to the table? It's immaterial.
The word you keep using is player. No, Ohtani's a great hitter. if he were to pitch, exactly your point. Oh, the Dodgers, they stink. The pitching stinks. Yeah, well, if Ohtani was doing his job, meaning pitching along with the hitting, then they'd be in a better spot. And maybe he would be the most valuable player. Right now, he is a hitter. Yeah, right. He's a hitter. That's it. We're not trying to minimize it. We know the offensive numbers. If Ohtani was not just a DH, it would be even less of a conversation. And we understand Ohtani's probably going to win it. So that's not lost on us either. But if you ask me who's been more valuable to their team, the most valuable player, it's Lindor. He actually plays shortstop at an elite level. Ohtani hits. He's the most valuable hitter or the most valuable DH. That's it.
Yeah, by the way, the Dodgers as a staff, because one of his points was that they have no pitching. Yeah. And I know that they've been banged up. Yamamoto went down, understood. Mm-hmm. You know, Glasnow, they've only had, I think, two pitchers make 20 or more starts. Both of them have an ERA of 3.5. So they have been good, not great. He's not wrong. But their total staff ERA is top 10. Total staff. I mean, listen, again, Lindor's not on the Mets, and you take an average player, Mets might win 73 or 74 games this year. I'll tell you one, they wouldn't have won yesterday.
Yeah,
with that.
That's exactly right. I mean, you could just say, oh, it wouldn't have played out like that. No, without him yesterday, they lose that game, and it could have sent them into a downward spiral going into the final 16 against Philadelphia and Atlanta. Of course, they had to win that game yesterday, and he woke them up. Look, point is, we know Ohtani's a better overall hitter, certainly one of the best ever, and when healthy, one of the great players the sport has ever seen. I mean, Ohtani's comp is Babe Ruth. However, this year, he's a DH.
And just for the record, another stat, this matters because he brought up the pitching. The Mets have given up more runs than the Dodgers. Now, some of that's unearned, whatever, but the Mets have given up 633 runs, and the Dodgers have given up 618. And oh, yeah, by the way, now the Dodgers have scored more. You want to say that's attributable to Ohtani? Sure. But again, you take away the run generation, not just the RBIs or the OPS. And I'm a huge OPS guy. I always reference that. Usually when talking about Lindor or Pete or others that I just have a problem with it, when you tell me so-and-so's an amazing player, oh, wow, let me check his OPS. His OPS is 770. Guess what? That's not amazing. But, you know, what he has done is amazing. And I'm not saying he's going to win. He's not. Ohtani's going to win.
By the way, Here's something. And again, I know that all things aren't created equal, and maybe this isn't the best measurement here, but the Dodgers won 100 games a year ago. Dodgers won 111 games the year before that. Dodgers won 106 games the year before that. The year before that, in a normal full season, you know, they won the pandemic World Series, which doesn't even really count. But the year before that, they won 106 games, 92, 104, 1.
Boy, that many years with 100 in a row? I didn't know it was that many.
This year, not all in a row, but like...
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was going to say.
3 years in a row.
Yeah.
This is Ohtani's first year with the Dodgers.
Uh-huh.
The 3 years prior, they've won at least 100 games.
Yeah.
They are not going to win 100 games this year.
No.
With the great Shohei
Ohtani.
That's
a good poll. Get that to the voters.
I mean, they have 87 right now. It would be an incredible... So the great and mighty Shohei Ohtani, the almighty Babe freaking Ruth himself, he joined the Dodgers in his first year. It's going to be the first time in the last four seasons that they don't win 100 games. And five, if you eliminate the pandemic year. Five straight years they've been, four straight years they've been a 100-win team. Ohtani comes, they're not going to win 100 games.
I thought you were going to punctuate that a little bit better. You had me. I was laying out. I'm like, Ohtani! And then I thought you were going to say, and they got worse.
Yeah, well.
Like, I was waiting for the different inflection, a little... more theatrical presentation, you know, you could have fired that one home a little bit better.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the critique. Appreciate that.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. Has a 13-yard throw over the middle. Answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Let me get Scott Manhattan, BT and Sound on The Fan. Scotty, what's happening?
Yeah. So I think you're wrong in the sense of saying, listen, because this is not like other sports. You can just bounce guys in and out like that. The bottom line, we paid him the money. The guy can bounce back. He just came off an injury. And DeVito's not going to give it to you. I mean, 11...
Well, we referenced DeVito, but he's not getting. You'd assume it'd be Drew Locke. And you can't tell me definitively. No, it's not whatever. You can't tell me definitively based on everything you've seen from Daniel Jones that you know with certainty he gives them a better chance to win than Drew Locke.
We paid him the money.
I don't care.
We gave him the bottom line. Listen, so you can't definitively tell me that he can't bounce back because he's done it before.
I've seen it for 6 years.
We gave him the money 6 years.
Stop with the money and stop saying, what do you mean this is a sport where you can't juggle guys? Right. Nobody can't bounce quarterbacks. Hold on a second. You're telling me that no quarterback has ever been pulled from another bad half of football to try to win a game and then they've gone back to him? Absolutely, that's happened many times.
Okay.
But what do you mean, okay? You've never heard that before? It's happened many times.
It's done, but how many times do you see that often in the NFL? I mean,
Scott, do you want to win the game Sunday or no?
Yes, I'm not going to fall apart because they don't win the game. It's only the second week. We got to relax. Second week, the guy just came up injured.
That's what I'm saying. Scott, I'm with you. There you go. That's the BT and Sal call today. You know my favorite part of these back and forths? And Hoff, you hear it all the time. Dove, you probably know where I'm going. When a caller says, okay, like he's trying to just transition to something
he's
else. And
I say,
what do you mean, okay? And then you just dive right back into it. They're trying to peacefully move on. It sounds like I ain't done with you.
Yeah, no, I love the battles, though, the back and forth. And that's what this is about. We all have opinions.
Yep.
Sports talks. Like, shouldn't be taking that seriously. Obviously, we take our sports seriously, but it's fun debate. I love it.
No doubt. And we'll always let you get after it on the show. Obviously, you guys bring it, and we'll bring it for you. You bring it for us. It's all good. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. About 10 more minutes or so, Evan Atiki coming up after us. So the Jones stuff was really a big chunk of the show. And then Lindor stuff the last hour or so has been hot. So we'll juggle both. We'll get back to you. And let's go to Steve at Oldbridge with BT and Sal. Stevie, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Pretty good, Steve.
Great show as always. I want to actually touch on both subjects. I initially called about the Daniel Jones thing when the conversation was hot on him. I just really think we should just give the guy a slight chance. I'm not a big fan of the man. He's kind of never proved a darn thing in the 6 years we've had him. But he's really been taken away from all of his skill set, you know, with a neck, with a knee. I mean, this guy's a shoulder away from being basically not even able to quarterback a team anymore, and he's barely able to do that as it is. I just think we should give him a break. It's been week one. He missed all of last year, basically, and I just think we need to give him a chance. And on Lindor, I know, and we've given him plenty. And on Lindor, this guy has been the whole team. Sal, I hear you every night on Baseball Night in New York. This guy has been the whole team. We wouldn't even be in a wild card, okay? Shohei Ohtani, they'd still be very good with the pitching that they pieced together. They still got Mookie. They still got Freddie. Their lineup is stacked. We're basically going at this with a Lindor. Vientos has come on, and everybody else is struggling.
The Dodgers have underperformed expectations. That should be. And thank you for the call, Steve. We do appreciate listening and then watching, of course, SNY. The Dodgers have. Part of it for me, BT, would go with the expectations, right? The results versus expectations. The Mets were not expected to do anything, but because of Lindor's MVP season, they're on the verge of becoming a playoff team. The Dodgers were expected to win probably 110 games with all the moves that they made. Yamamoto.
I think it was 106. I think their over was 106.
I mean, think about that. Glasnow, Yamamoto, Betts, Freeman, Ohtani. Like, it never ends with their superstar, and yet they're not going to win 100 games.
Freeman.
So that's got to count for something. I'm not trying to minimize Ohtani's year, but he doesn't even play the field. He doesn't pitch this year. Come on.
Let's get Brooks in Bridgewater, Connecticut. Brooks.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I was thinking about, like, Ohtani versus Lindor, this debate and everything, and, like, 50-50 season is obviously incredible, but is it that incredible now with the bigger bases and a pitch clock where you can time up? Stealing is a lot more. And because Acuna did it last year, he had a 40-70 season. And there's only been five others that have done this before.
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting, smart, I think below the radar of obvious observation. I do think that you get it. Well, number one, you're seeing it come to fruition. So what you say is factually correct. I think it's less about the size of the bases. Yeah, that matters a little bit here. But you know, even Volpe, you just see him timing guys up with that little skip hop, and it's just it's never been easier to steal than it is right now in 2024. Period.
Plus, catchers are just nowhere near where they were defensively many years ago.
I don't know if I could say that. I can't back that up.
Back then, BT,
I can't back that up.
Well, think about it. Here's why, and I'm sure if we actually took the time, we'd go over it.
Yeah.
Back then, catchers were not primary offensive positions, and nobody was really looking for it.
Like Tony Pena.
Yeah, those guys were meant to be defensive, call the game, be a stud, leader, defensive player.
Yes, yes.
So catchers were better. Now, I'm sure that the stats would back it up. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Or at least it feels like in my mind, back then, catchers were better defensively, and it was more likely they were going to throw runners out until we started to get into the, you know, the steroid era, and you wanted to look for offense from the catcher's position.
Mm-hmm.
And now we certainly got away from that in many years. Now there's probably a handful of good catchers, period, in the game, but it's become an offensive position. You just kind of overlook the defense, and it's more about framing than about throwing guys out because running wasn't a part of the game for so many years. So
Think about that. The Cardinals ran at will in the late 70s and early 80s, and obviously, you know, Bonds ran a lot, and Ricky ran a lot.
Ricky,
and, you
know, Willie McGee, Vince Coleman. Yeah, but Paul Molitor
ran. Those, you know, Robin Yount ran. Willie Randle would steal, not quite to that level, but I think they ran a lot.
Yeah, but stealing bases was much more part of the game, which means the catchers were more, you were looking to have a catcher who could throw runners out because it was more of a part of the game.
Yes, I agree with that premise, but I don't believe that I can't prove this, just the eye test. I don't think that that's necessarily translates to better catchers back then.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you why, because think about this. The emphasis with everything now is specialized, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's trying to, you know, max out with velo. Let me touch 100. Let me sniff 99. Let me get to 100. Let me push you to 102. Let me get to 103. And that obviously starts at the lower levels. And I believe it. Again, I can't prove this, but I think it's fairly easy to see. Like, I think of in the 80s when we were younger, right?
Yeah.
I think of the catcher, heavy-footed, and it didn't really even matter how he hit, because they didn't hit either, but just thick. You know, like Ron Hassey or Ron Korkovice.
Right.
I'm just throwing names out. Like Butch Weiniger. These guys didn't really, even though Butch was probably a little bit better than Hassey and Korkovice. But, you know, there was a Gary Carter, there was a Johnny Bench, but there were a lot of stiffs who couldn't move. And they didn't hit. And they were very thick, heavy-footed, and non-athletic, which I believe, and again, I can't prove this, but if you're thick and heavy, I think that your pop time down to second throwing the ball is going to be better if you're a better athlete.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, irrefutably better athletes behind the plate now. Just look at Alvarez.
Yeah.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, I just think that there has been, I mean, it's a fact that the game has gotten away from stolen bases being a thing, which then in turn meant, hey, let's have catcher being, you know, we can live with more of an offensive player and sacrifice the defense a little bit. And to give specific examples, I got to go back over. I'm trying to look up some of the names back then. You know, I just, and look, maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe the catchers nowadays are even better defensively
than they
were years ago.
I really do.
I don't believe that to be the case. I just remember feeling like, oh, this catcher's a stud and this guy's got a good arm. And it was more of an importance placed on the defense. But the way that they took running out of the game and now put it back in, I do think it makes it a little bit easier to get the stolen base now, where you don't need Ricky Henderson or Vince Coleman to get 80, you know, 90 stolen bases, whatever it may be, where now it's like, whoa, 50 stolen bases is a major deal.
Well, we can't prove the athleticism. That's just kind of an eye test opinion thing, but we can probably at least connect some dots here. So I've got something. Give me three. You pick any 3 years.
Yeah.
I have something for you. Any 3 years, and kind of spread them out from 1970 until now. Excluding this year.
86.
All right, hold on. I'll write down. 1986.
93.
Good call. 1993. That was the Phillies Blue Jays, right? 93?
And 2004.
Not 2000. 2000 was it?
2004.
It was
very
good year.
Somehow it just went to 04.
What happened in 04?
All right.
So, 1986.
Yeah.
As I perused the database, there were 3,312 total stolen bases, both leagues.
Okay.
In 1993, there were 3,263, negligible, like a barely a drop off. 2000. Yeah, 2000. Now we are at 29 change, so 400 fewer than the first year. And I would surmise if you go to like last year.
Well, 2004.
Well, go to like 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
2281. So that is 1,000 fewer bases, doing quick math here, from 1986 to 2019. It's
So I mean, it's a long time, but clearly...
No, it is, but that's why I wanted to connect some mystery there.
Yeah, clearly the running game has been taken out. Now it'll go back up. It's on the upswing again, which means teams are going to be like, hey, we can't have these guys run all over us. Let's get a good defensive catcher in here if we can.
Correct. How about Sevy in Norwalk, Connecticut? What's happening, Sevy?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up,
Sevy? Hey, full disclosure real quick. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Met hater. So, Sal, roll your eyes.
No, you're good. That's okay.
But I'm all in on Lindor being the MVP. And I think the big problem is Major League Baseball can't get clear what the criteria for a most valuable player is. I mean, you talk about white paper, the guys that had the best statistics. You had years with Trout winning the MVP year after year because the statistics looked good.
Yeah.
But it made no difference for his team. Then you had Ted Williams win the Triple Crown and not win an MVP. Hit 400 and not win an MVP.
Who won it that year? Who won it that year? I don't even know who won it that year. I know
all due respect, the year he hit 400, DiMaggio had the 56 game hitting streak.
Got it. So, that's right. Okay.
Well, let's say that wipes it out.
Got it.
The year that he hit the Triple Crown, it was a different Yankee. Escapes my mind. It wasn't even DiMaggio. But because these guys pushed the Yankees over the borderline into the World Series and Williams didn't, you know, that was the criteria.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the correct criteria. That's why I'm all in on Lindor right now.
There you go. I got one more question. One more question for you. Yeah, hold on. You prefaced it with, and I respect the honesty, the transparency. You said you're a Yankees fan. Let's go get the Red Sox tonight, by the way. And you're a Mets hater. Why do you hate the Mets?
Yes.
Why?
Because I grew up in the Bronx, and the kid across the street is a Mets fan. You're a Yankee fan. You argue all day long.
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
I had as a kid, I had a T-shirt that said I root for two teams, the Yankees and whoever's playing the Mets.
How old are you?
This is what my father gave me.
How old are you?
So that's the way we were raised.
How old are you?
And he was... I'm in my 60s. I'm an old man.
Yeah, but back then the Mets were insignificant. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but
he lived through the 80s, though.
Well, so did I.
I mean, there's at least reason back then.
I'm with you. Mets.
Normally, I think, why does a Yankee fan hate the Mets?
I don't.
But I could see how the Mets fan would get annoying, and especially if you look through the 80s where the Mets were the dominant team in town, believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't hate the Mets. I view the Mets historically.
But your dad was a Mets fan. It's different.
Yeah, I kind of view the Mets as that little gnat at the barbecue just buzzing around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Then eventually you got to zap them.
Okay. Be careful. Head-to-head, 4-0 this year.
That's true. You got it this year.
And the Mets have the best record in baseball since the end of May. But the Yankees beat the Royals last night.
Imagine if both Judge and Lindor win the MVP. Wow, great show. Hey, tomorrow is already an important Football Friday. We'll see you then, Sal. See you tomorrow. Evan and Tiki up next. Have a great Thursday. Bye-bye.